Some of you may have heard me tell the story of how today's gospel reading caught me off guard a few years ago in a French country church. The reading was in French, but I had been helping my young sons to follow it in an English Bible. At the end of the reading, the lady who had read smiled at me and asked, "T'as compris? You understood?" "Yes," I assured her, pointing to my English Bible. "I understood." To which she replied, "Tu peux l'expliquer? You can explain it?" So I was being asked to give an impromptu sermon in schoolgirl French. There's understanding and understanding. Elisha understood what he had seen. He understood that his rabbi was leaving him, that he, the pupil, would be on his own from now on, seeking to hear, understand, and proclaim God's word. He understood that he couldn't do it in his own strength, hence asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He could describe the fiery horses and chariots that came between him and Elijah. He understood when he saw Elijah taken up in the whirlwind that he had been granted his prayer for that double portion of Elijah's spirit. But could he explain what he saw? I doubt it. Peter, James, and John understood what they saw. Before this, they had begun to grasp that Jesus was the Messiah, but struggled when he spoke of his pending death. Up on the mountain, they saw Jesus in radiant glory, confirming and deepening their understanding that he truly was from God. They recognized Moses and Elijah. Wonder how. But could they explain it? I don't think so. Of all the mind-blowing things that they had witnessed in their time with Jesus, this was probably the most outstanding. Maybe that was why Jesus placed an embargo on telling anyone until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They were going to need time and that resurrection perspective to even begin to understand more fully all that they had seen and heard. In our Christian faith, we sometimes have to accept that some things are beyond us to understand at the level of being able to truly explain them. Some understanding needs to wait on greater experience or revelation. Our gospel, good news, is veiled, as Paul says. And as he says, unbelievers will not understand it, as their minds are blinded. But we should still be preaching Jesus Christ as Lord. We should be praying as we study God's word for the light of the gospel to display to us the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We should be praying that God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," will make his light shine in our hearts and give us the light and knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. To give us that vision of Christ's glory that we can wonder at, ponder on, and then reflect and speak of to the world. And if people around us don't fully understand, who are we to criticize or be surprised? Last month, I preached about the call of the disciples and suggested that we should listen for God's call to leave old tasks and to follow him in a new way. Yesterday at Deanery Synod, I heard Luke's account of that calling, in which he prefaces it with Jesus borrowing Peter's boat as a preaching platform, and then telling the unsuccessful, tired, dejected fishermen to push out their boats and let down their nets again. Their reaction was predictable. We worked hard all night and caught nothing. And unpredictable. If you say so, I will let down the nets. They were overwhelmed by the vast catch they hauled in, and even more overwhelmed by their sense of inadequacy in the face of Jesus' power. Listening to this story yesterday, it struck me that we at All Saints can sometimes be like those tired, dejected fishermen. We look at empty seats, and when someone suggests that we go out fishing for people, we can say, "We've tried that, didn't work, we caught nothing." And I felt yesterday that God was saying to us, "I know all that. Now, push out further and let down your nets. Go out there to Crawley Down and share the good news of Jesus, the image of God. Go out there and give them a glimpse, however incomprehensible, of God's glory. Go out there and tell the children in the school these wonderful true stories from the Bible." And I'd like at this point to say a big thank you to the Open the Book team and the Bible Club team who are doing that week by week. And the rest of you, please note that we would love to welcome new storytellers, people who would like children to help children get dressed up, people who've got creative talents they would like to use to prepare props. They are all ways of getting God's great news out to the people. Above all, we need prayer supporters. So even if you've not got the courage to stand up in front of the school and don't feel you have the creative talents to make props, please pray regularly for that work. Scripture Union, one of our tithe partners who we're praying for over the next couple of weeks, have done research which indicates that 95% of British children are not regularly in church in any shape or form. If they are to hear the gospel, we have to go out to them. But it's not just the work in school. I think God is saying to us, go out there to the lunch club, the open door group, the British Legion, the WI, the Allotment Society, the sports clubs, the guides, the scouts, you name it, go out there and let the radiance of Christ shine through you. Speak to God's people of God's glory, generosity and love. Jesus has now been risen from the dead over 2,000 years. The embargo on speaking is well and truly lifted. Get out there. Tell them. And never doubt that God, who could send a fiery chariot and horses for Elijah, God who could push back time and allow Jesus to converse with Moses and Elijah, God who could fill nets with fish when none should have been found, is more than capable of filling this church with people who are beginning to glimpse and understand his glory. Up on the mountain, a cloud covered Jesus, and a voice said, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him."